Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Not escaping from these things, in these things. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, the height, the depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. My message tonight is simply entitled, Life's Three Greatest Words. Life's three greatest words. Teachers and counselors and arbitrators in union strikes or suicide situations attempt to do this. Parents who are trying to keep the kids moral and get away from dishonesty and from lying and temper tantrums and attitudes are always trying to do this. Every ad, every salesperson, every investor, every commercial effort, everybody, medicines and diets are all trying to do life's three greatest words. Contrary to what is believed, God is love is not three greatest words. Able to heal is not the three greatest words. Able to save is not the three greatest words. The three greatest words in life, and you will need them, because in a few moments when the AC goes out and the lights flash out, your hoop-de-loo will stop and your goosebumps will shut down. And the inspiration will probably not last very long, and you won't have to remember some of the stuff that was said and what you promised to do. And life will show up like a freight train and almost run you slap over. That's when you need to get up off the railroad car and say, I am persuaded. I'm sorry it wasn't more revelatory and moving than you expected, but it took a guy from his whole life to glory, and he walked through his life just saying, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature can separate me. I'm not persuaded by the sermon. I'm not persuaded by what I feel. I am persuaded by what I know. And I know I'm loved by a love that will not let me down.
Yeah. You're not hearing me yet. I can save you 4 years of Bible school. It's real easy. Here's what being lost is. Somebody persuaded you with bad news. Here's what salvation is. Somebody persuaded you with good news. End of class. You don't need to dial your prayer partner. You don't want to go on a 7,000-day fast. All you got to do is wake up one day and yell, say, come hell or high water, I am persuaded. God is for me. And if God is for me, it doesn't matter who or what is against me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Woo! I know that's not impressive with all the stuff we've heard, but just stay with me for a minute. I can walk through hell with three words. My church can split, and I'll still survive. My loved ones can die, but I'll crawl back up. I may fall down in the mud. Don't you worry about me. Old J.W. is getting his carcass back up. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. I don't need to feel nothing. I don't need to play a tape. I don't need a phone call. I don't need you to pat me on the back, blow my nose, or help me. I am persuaded. And if I am persuaded, I am unbeatable. before we leave this conference, you better be persuaded there's more to this stuff than feeling good. There's more to this stuff than hearing songs and hearing sermons. Something's got to get in your spirit when you get ready to leave here. When you face all kinds of chaos and trouble, you've got to look at it and say, I don't care what goes on. I am persuaded. I wish I could get a witness in the house. No, I mean a real witness. You know why you're here? Well, I'm going to mess with you. Sit down, sir. You're not here because of the truth. Now I'm going to mess with you. You ain't got nothing. You ain't going to scare me. I believe the truth. I just pray down for the truth. Can I help you with this? The truth can't do nothing for you. Just sit there and stare all you want to. You missionaries have a heart attack. You're taking all this truth to the world that's lost. I'm going to tell you what. The truth doesn't liberate nobody. I know what the Bible said. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth doesn't do anything. Your knowing does it. The truth is an absolute. The truth is an eternal. But it doesn't go one way or the other. It's just the truth. But when you persuade somebody about the truth, then the truth explodes. Then the truth becomes dynamic. Then the truth liberates. Then the truth heals. It's the persuasion that makes the truth work. And say what you want to. The biggest frustration we have is trying to keep people persuaded. I'm the biggest trouble with Jeffrey. God ain't made a devil big enough to give me as much trouble as I've given myself. You say, well, the devil, oh, give me a break. The devil ain't got no power over no child of God. Are you out of your mind? You know why you let the devil mess with you? He persuades you. Eve was persuaded to eat the fruit. Jesus came around here 2,000 years ago. All he was trying to do was persuade people. He won't force nothing. You're not hearing me. See, this has been the greatest because of times I've ever been. I've never been so stretched like in all my life. I'm freaked out. I'm whacked. My mind is scrambled eggs. I can't figure out how I'm going to keep all these promises. And then God, this afternoon, I lay down, go to get a little sleep. And he says, remember what I told you, Jeffrey? When the lights turn out and the goosebumps stop, keep saying it. I am persuaded. I'm going to do what God told me to do. And God is going to do what he promised to do. If I do what he told me to do, I am persuaded he'll do what he said he would do. The whole issue is as simple as being persuaded. Now, in all the years I've preached here, I've never used issues. I've never brought up all kinds of stupid stuff. I'm not going to do it now. I'm just passing by. I'm just on the curve. I'm passing by. I'm not going to stop. But God spoke to me. I know that frustrates some of you people because you believe the Bible and that's about it. But I'm not the Church of Christ, the Pentecost. I'm real Pentecost. I think God talks in the book and outside of the book. But I don't think he'll ever violate the book. But don't tell me God can't talk to you. Don't tell me God can't show up. Don't tell me God can't show you stuff that's not in the book. Don't tell me God can't start doing stuff he's never done before. He can outdo himself anytime he wants. For I am persuaded that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask and think according to the power. Let me help you. I can say the general board, all this foolishness, printing a manual that outweighs the Bible, give you a hernia to pick it up. It's real easy. Forget all this stuff about dress, hair, modesty, TV, video, putt-putt, golf, colored shirts, cufflinks. Forget all that foolishness. You just got to say, are you persuaded? No, you didn't. If you're persuaded, you got no problems. It's the fact that lots of people are not persuaded, and that brings division, and that brings discord. But if you can ever get persuaded that God's worth your best, and God's worth your worship, and God's worth your time, and God's worth your money, and God's worth your dedication, and God's worth your praise, and God's worth your prayer, you ain't got no problem. I'm so putrefied with all these dumb camps where they don't believe this and they're against that and they're against it. No, it ain't for two camps. Persuaded, not persuaded. Forget all that rainbow stuff. I'm persuaded. I'm not persuaded. You know why your prayer life is lousy? Not persuaded. You know why you have problems with bimbos in your church who won't tithe? Not persuaded. It ain't a money issue. It ain't a dollar and cents issue. Just not persuaded. Oh, God. Oh, God. Am I in trouble now? Oh, God. Life's three greatest words. Hell says, I'm taking you out. Oh, shut up, fool. Go pick on somebody you can take out. You can't take me out. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded what? I have a destiny. I have a call. I have an anointing. I have a power from another world. I have a mission to do for God. I am persuaded. You cannot take, let me tell you this. I am so persuaded that Satan cannot do anything in your life until you agree with him. I am persuaded God can't do anything in your life unless you agree with him. Isn't it funny? If a doctor tells you something, you're persuaded. If the word tells you, let's discuss it. Can I preach a few minutes here? I know I'm just a little lonely here. You sit down. I'm talking about the problems we have. Balaam persuaded Israel. Mrs. Potiphar tried to seduce old Joe with a little persuasion. Delilah got Samson in her lap, persuaded him. The Hebrews in Babylon, they tried to persuade them to change their names, change their clothes. Jesus in the wilderness, his only problem was the devil trying to persuade him. My God, he made it so simple. If you're a college graduate, you could understand this. You ain't got to know the nuclear formula or get to bongo bongo land. All you got to say is, are you persuaded or you're not persuaded? Do you believe prayer works or it don't work? Do you believe in fast? You don't want to fast. You believe you're going to sacrifice? You're not going to sacrifice. It's so simple. But listen, we have been so high in this conference, but you are not going to live the rest of your days high. So when you leave here, you've got to walk out with those three words ringing in your soul. I am persuaded. He's promised me it's going to happen. If I give myself to him, he's going to back me up. He will bless me. He will anoint me. He will use me. It's not about feeling. It's not even about faith. It's I'm just persuaded. You sit down. What time did I start? I won't be long. Hear me. Satan trying to seduce Jesus in the wilderness to persuade him. Now you got to understand something. We've got this holy roller convention here. This because of the times thing. You know why we have Christianity? God was persuaded. Now, I know that you're brilliant. Your mind's way out there. Who would persuade God? Glad you asked. Himself. God talks to himself all the time. Sure he does. Do you talk to yourself? Just like your father. Bible said God who counsels with himself. God gets ready to save the world. And the wisdom of God says, well, how are we going to get it done? And then the knowledge of God says, well, we'll do it this way. And then the love of God said, it ought to be done. And the power of God said, done. You're not hearing me yet. You're not a Pentecostal. You're somebody that God is persuaded about. He's persuaded that you're an overcomer. He's persuaded that you're going to experience everything he's got on the agenda for you. What you need to do is get persuaded yourself.
Stay with me just a minute. I said, Christianity is the results of God being persuaded. He looked down time and said, I'm persuaded you're worth dying for. I know you're trash right now, but I'm persuaded I can make you treasure. I know you're dirt, but I really specialize in dust and dirt and stuff. I realize you ain't got nothing to offer, and I got everything to offer. I'm just persuaded that you're worth dying for. What is the incarnation? God persuaded on how to do it. You're not getting it. I'm so sorry. You're expanded too far, okay? You know why Jesus went to Calvary? Two reasons. First, he was persuaded that his dying would shed blood that was powerful enough to forgive the worst person. You ready? And then he was persuaded that death wasn't powerful enough to hold it. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it back up. You know why we got a church? And I'm persuaded I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If God is persuaded, why don't you get persuaded? Let's say it again. Ready? The three greatest words in life. Thank you. It's not God is love. It's I am persuaded God loves me. It's not God is able to heal. It's I am persuaded God will heal me. We've had such moves of the Holy Ghost here, and yet somehow God has said to my heart, tell these people the greatest thing they'll get out of this whole conference is to walk out of here with an innate persuasion. So, I got a word for you. Some of you got prayed for. Some of you got anointed. Some of you got spit all over. Somebody slapped you around and you didn't get your healing. The Lord told me to tell you, tell my people, sometimes my healing comes as a seed. And they want a full harvest. That's a miracle. But miracles are not always given to people. But healing comes in a seed. What does that mean? You better be persuaded the seed can be stolen. You better water it. You better protect it. You better nurture it. You better pray over it. You better bless it. You better encourage it. You better talk to it. You better be persuaded that the miracle is in the seed. Am I not doing good yet? I'm just struggling here. I'm trying to help you. Look, I don't want to be offensive, okay? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation. But the gospel don't do nothing. It's just this explosive something. Until you're persuaded about it. And once you're persuaded, your persuasion lights the fuse and it goes kapoof. That's why you have people that come to church week after week, month after month, year after year. You preach until your socks fall down or your hair's hanging out and they never get moved. There's nothing wrong with your preaching. They just refuse to be persuaded. Stop fussing yourself and confusing yourself and frustrating yourself over people who are not persuaded. Find somebody else. Talk to somebody else. Reach for somebody else. Pray for somebody else. Do not let the unpersuaded steal your persuasion. I'm going as fast as I can. I'm going as fast as I can. The Lord woke me up and gave me Galatians 5:8 and he said, Paul wrote to the Galatian church and said, this persuasion that you're embracing cometh not of him that called you. So religious people have persuasions that didn't come from God. And Paul wrote to him and said, this dumb persuasion, you're being swept away in your mind. You started in the spirit, now you're justified in the flesh. Sounds like Pentecost. Started in the fear, justified in the spirit. That persuasion cometh not of him that called you. Uh-oh. Pardon me, was there something I said? Have you ever taken inventory? How many persuasions you take hold of that can't help you? I Don't you get it? I read that scripture to you. Agabus comes down, ties the guy's hands and feet together. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. That makes everybody bow their head and just say, woo, 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 woo. He says, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Said, whoever owns this girdle, the Jews are going to tie him hand and foot and give him to the Gentiles. That means he's going to be mistreated, misunderstood, and messed with. And these great apostolic Holy Ghost spiritual saints say, nah! Don't let the will of God mess with your life. Don't let the will of God let you get put into something you don't want. And they tried to persuade him to abort the will of God because the will of God might be painful. Now, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. And the Bible says, and they pleaded with him, and they cried, and they moaned, and they did all their Pentecostal jamboree. And Paul says, what is your problem? Why need you to weep and break my heart? I'm ready to get bumped off downtown Jerusalem. What's your problem? Now watch this scripture. And when they saw they could not persuade him, they said, oh, well, let the will of God be done. Some of you right now, God wants to give you an instant miracle. And people sitting around you are going to try to persuade you. You better do what the doctor said. You better take all your pills and you better become a Pentecostal pharmacist. I say, let's go to Dr. Jesus one more time and see if he will not stretch forth his hand and heal the sick and set the captives free and deliver the demonized. I'm not being unkind, Elder. That was a masterpiece you preached. No substitute for sons. I just want to put a little disclaimer in there. 68% of Jesus' ministry was miracles. And if you take the supernatural out of the gospel, you ain't got much. Now, it is a shame to go to hell with an Olympian body. And it's a shame for God to heal you and you keep your soul lost. So you are right, bud. Soul salvation is the utmost thing. But I sat there and I felt the Lord say to me, now, wait a minute. You hear what he's saying, but it's not an either or. It's not Acts 2:38. Or casting out devils and praying for the sick. It's both. Because there's nothing any more supernatural than the baptism of the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. And you are persuaded about that. Why aren't you persuaded about healing and signs and wonders and deliverance? What are you afraid of? I'm going as fast as I can. I know I'm doing good, but I'm just going as fast as I can. Please hear me. I know I'm struggling, but I'm doing the best I can. Power. You've had enough power in here to save the whole earth. Power is not the issue. Truth is not the issue. God's will is not the issue. Because God's will can be overridden. It's not God's will that any perish. How come they are? They're not persuaded. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thy children as a hen doth a brood, but you wouldn't. So you, in your unpersuasion, overrode my will for you. The wonderful gift of being saved is simply that you somehow, some way in God's mercy, got persuaded that what the guy was telling you was the truth. Please hear me. We are strong. We are adamant about Acts 2:38, one God, Jesus' name, baptism, Holy Ghost. I believe that. We are strong. But you know why we are so strong and we are so unmovable in that message? We're persuaded.
What's going to happen in the next 12 months when this church that leaves here decides to get persuaded about lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Use my name and cast out spirits, bind devils, cause people to be set. See how quiet it got right now? See, you're back to that wussified stuff. You are afraid of the supernatural. You shouldn't be afraid of it. It ought to be normal for us. It ought to be everything we do. We ought to be as adamant about people getting healed as we are about people getting saved.
I'm going to say it again. If you are preaching a gospel and it doesn't have signs, wonders, and miracles, you are not giving people good news. You are giving people good advice. He goes, sit down. I'm going to talk. I'll be finished. You ain't got to ask me no more. I'm fine. I'm an old man. I'm okay. I got a debate with some of you brilliant guys around here. I heard this stuff 45 times that I was choking these last two and a half days. The gospel. He preached the gospel. The gospel. I don't even think half the people know what the gospel is. Read it. 4:23 of Matthew. And Jesus went into their villages. Watch this. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What gospel? There was no Acts 2:38. Pardon me. Was it something I said? The word gospel is good news. When Jesus went around, he preached the good news, watch, of the arrival of the kingdom. And then he demonstrated and showed them what the kingdom looked like. There was no blindness. There was no lameness. There was no leprosy. There was no death. That stuff does not exist in the kingdom of God. And it should not exist in us.
I'm not trying to cause no trouble, Anthony. You got to hear me. 4:23. He went and preached the gospel of the kingdom. Healed the sick. Cast out devils. Cleansed the lepers. 9:35. He went in their villages and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. 10:1. Sent him out, anointed him, gave him power, authority. Said, preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Heal the sick, cleanse it. He told them to raise the dead before he raised the dead. How come they didn't raise it? Weren't persuaded. I'm sorry. Boy, we're supposed to take this into outer space. I'm messing with you right now. Let me ask you a question. In Mark 9, when the disciples tried to cast the devil out of that demonized boy, anybody, do you people read the Bible at all? Do you know what I'm talking about? Mark 9, he came down a man transfiguration. They've been screaming and yelling. I'd like to make a statement. I'm not a prophet, neither son of a prophet. Would you stop screaming and yelling when you pray over people? Diseases and devils aren't impressed with your dumb voice. You think all this hoopla, all this screaming and stuff is going to make some devil go... Man, when Jesus got ready to fix stuff, he said, hey, be quiet. Come out of me. Stop that. Get up. Little lamb, I say unto thee, arise. Wind, be quiet. See, the only reason you yell and scream is because you ain't got no authority. And yet you've got the authority, but you're not persuaded that you have the authority. Because your persuasion is impacted by your feelings. Your persuasion has nothing to do with what God has told you. Your feelings cannot govern it. Has God told you he'll back you up? Then you've got to be persuaded that God will back you up. It has nothing to do with what you feel.
I'm sorry. You said I got a divided house. I feel it here. I feel it there. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I've thrown a real mess to you. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? That the gospel was preached before there was a Calvary? Don't you get it?
Oh, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul says, I want you to know the gospel that I'm accustomed to preach. See, you don't understand. There's a difference between the good news of the kingdom and how to get in the kingdom.
There wasn't nobody getting in the kingdom when Jesus was ministering. He brought the kingdom to them. He said, this is what the kingdom looks like. Watch.
And he convinced them and persuaded them by signs and wonders and miracles to listen to his doctrine. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again in water and spirit. Never let the guy get born again in water and spirit. He just gave him a message. That's what you got to do. And then he just left him. Because the new birth wasn't available until Pentecost. So the guy's going to experience the supernatural if he's persuaded. You see, the problem is your persuasion fights with your understanding. Yeah. Oh, God. Can I really support me? Yeah. I just don't see how. That's why you're still sick, stupid. Well, I don't believe it's the will of God to heal. Well, you little liar. Why do you go to the doctor? See, you believe it's God's will for you to be well. You're just not persuaded whether it's medicine or miracle. Well, I'm going to help you with it. If you ain't got the faith and the confidence and the persuasion to trust God for the miracle, swallow the aspirin. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to help you with what God told me. Tell these people when they leave this conference that the lighting of the candle shall be the amount of their persuasion. If they are persuaded, then I will do it. And then the Lord gave me, I didn't steal this. I didn't get this from a book or a tape. God gave this to me. I wrote it down right here. Here's what he said. Tell the people that I am ready, I am willing, I am able, I want to. These are all facts. Listen, here's what he said. But only as they are persuaded does their persuasion release me to become to them what I am to myself. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Here's the persuasion to everyone that believeth. That's the persuasion. Once you are persuaded, here comes the power. Here comes the mercy. Here comes the reconciliation. Here comes the forgiveness. Here comes the rebirth. Once you are persuaded, you release God. It's not how you feel. It's if you're persuaded. Oh, don't sit down. Look at someone and say, hey, are you persuaded or are you just always this way? Look, come on, ask him. What is it going to take to get you persuaded? Mike, you ready to read for me? You sit down. I'm so sorry. I didn't even think I would be allowed to preach this thing. You're not getting it. God doesn't ever increase. Truth doesn't ever improve. God never gets bigger or better anytime, any place. But it's when you are persuaded about Him, you release Him into a situation. You release Him to act up, to show His power, to make His glory. Folks, we've got a wrong statement or a concept here. Brother Tom, when it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All my Christian life, I've always believed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then last year, the Lord dealt with me and said, where did you get that from? What chart did you read? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know what glory is, Jeffrey? Go ahead and talk. Well, and the Lord dealt with me and said, glory is the invisible God manifesting Himself. When the cloud came down, they saw the glory of the Lord. When the cloud came down over the tabernacle, it was the glory of the Lord. It's the invisible God making Himself detectable, feelable, sensible, hearable, knowable. Now watch. Let's try it again. Christ in you, the hope of... Now, you're not getting it yet. You're going to lay your hands on somebody. Christ in me. Christ in me. You've got to be persuaded. Something's going to happen.
Never mind your emotions. Never mind the folks that don't believe. You got to be persuaded. If you've got Jesus Christ in you, you've got an opportunity for Him to flash out, to demonstrate, to show off.
You're used to now. I'm sorry. So sorry. Brother Arnold, you believe death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel? Yes and no. Yeah, I believe it's the good news of the kingdom, but I believe it is the entrance into the kingdom. Because Acts 2:38 is how you get in. Watch me. That's why lots of folks who don't preach Acts 2:38 can have miracle signs and wonders. Why? They are persuaded about the kingdom. And then we get mad and ticked off at them.
Hey, false doctrine.
Yes, they are.
Lost.
Yes, they are. Shouldn't be happy about it.
I don't know whether that miracle is real.
Well, Jesus said, no man can do a miracle in my name and speak evil of me. And he was talking about the guy that they told to shut up. We found a guy casting out devils in your name, but he didn't run with us, so we shut him down. Jesus said, well, go bid him and let him resurrect again, man. He believes something you guys don't believe. Don't you get it? The disciples of Jesus were the most tutored people about the supernatural there ever was. Listen to me. And when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, I didn't forget my thought. They've been screaming and yelling and carrying on like we do, trying to get that demon out of that boy. So I'm going to ask you a question, all you Pentecostals getting ready to lead this great conference. Was it the will of God to heal the boy or not? Boy, you little wussified three people. Was it the will of God to heal the boy or not? So if Jesus hadn't showed up, the disciples would have left him possessed. They had wore themselves out to a prison. Couldn't cast them out. They cast other devils out, but now they met one guy that must have been a colonel. And they couldn't cast them out. Now watch this, Brother Mangan. I'm sorry to bore you guys with this, but Jesus turned around and said, oh, bring him to me for crying out loud. That's paraphrase, crying out loud. Bring him to me. And the devil throws him on the ground and he wallows and spits. Why? Oh, I got a revelation for you, man. You don't have to shout. Just hold on to this one. Anytime your adversary shows his carcass, he knows he's fixing to be exposed. And anytime he gets exposed, he's a critter of the darkness. Light manifests evil. And when he gets exposed, he knows he's fixing to lose his power. He's fixing to lose his hold. He's fixing to lose his grip. Do not be intimidated when you go to pray for something and it acts up. It only acts up because it's persuaded it's on the way out. Stay with me. Sit down. I'm just trying to go a little faster. At 9:30, I'll be done in a couple minutes. Well, watch this. He says, was it Jesus? You said it was Jesus' will to heal him. Well, then it was the disciples. They should have healed him because they had authority and power. But they met a spirit that they were not used to dealing with it. Watch what Jesus says. He gives, Brother Harper, he gives a strange scenario. How come we couldn't cast that guy out? Well, because of your unbelief. What do you mean your unbelief? Well, he was putting on such a big show, you got scared. Watch what he said. I've never heard. He said, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. You ready for this? He didn't pray and he didn't fast. He said, you can't get no devil this size out of anybody without praying and fasting. Come at him. He said, oh, could you give me this Kodak moment again? I'm missing this somewhere. You said it tells out by prayer and fasting, and you just told him to get out, and he got out. Oh, yeah, you see, your people are trying to deal with a crisis with nothing in the bank.
And when cancer shows up and devils show up and diabetes shows up and malfunctions show up, then you start screaming and yelling about it. You've got to draw on your past. You have to have been praying before. You have to have been putting deposits in before. You can't just turn around and say, have Morton Busted pray for me. Have Doug Kleindienst pray for me. Have Stone King pray for me. My God, if you would make spiritual deposits when you need it, you can withdraw from that. That's why you gotta be persuaded. I need 10 minutes, okay, and I'll finish. 10 minutes, just 10 minutes. You ready to read for me? You get what I'm trying to say? How come we couldn't do well? You haven't been putting any prayer and fasting. What did David knock the big fat slob giant down with? What did he knock that 9.5-foot doofus down with? Yeah, right, that sounds good. David knocked him down with what David took time to put in the bed. He wasn't like us Pentecostals just running out to a fire. Well, I'll take you right now. Look out here. Man, I'll just beat your head. I'm going to beat you with words. David was smart enough to say, hey, I ain't got no delay. I'm going to go by the rook. I'm going to pick up 5 flat stones. Why? So I'm going to kill this thing I'm facing now with my spiritual reserves. I'm going to use now what I put in the bag then. You've got to put some stuff in if you're going to take some out. You can't just shout and talk in tongues and boogaloo. You've got to believe that if you do your fasting and your praying, then I am persuaded that when I come up against something, I can make a withdrawal. Sit down. I'm going as fast as I can. I'm so sorry. I'm not getting where I want to go. If you're filled with unbelief, it's because you're not persuaded that God will heal, save, deliver, help, bless. If you're filled with fear, it's because you're not persuaded no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're filled with doubt, it's because you're not persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God, and God is able to keep you from falling. And let me say this right now. That doesn't mean falling. It means falling so you stay fallen. That's why the Bible said two are better than one. I tell our church family all the time, be careful who you sit next to. Don't sit next to some spiritual dingbat. Don't sit next to some carnal dodo. In case you get a bunch of hell in your life and you fall down, the Bible said two are better than one. For if one falls, the other shall help pick him up. We need that kind of ministry in the United Pentecostal Church so that when somebody falls, we don't damn them and condemn them and ridicule them, that we kneel down and we pick them back up. Okay. I'm just going to forget it. I'm going to go home. You got to hear me. He that cometh to God must believe God is. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Okay, Brother Mike Williams, would you get me 5:17 of Luke, please, and I'll go as fast as I can.
And it came to pass on a certain day.
Yeah.
As he was teaching.
Yeah.
That there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by.
Bible quizzers. Bible thumpers. Scriptorians, bookworms, we know the book.
Watch this, read. Which were come out of every city, every town,
yeah,
of Galilee,
yeah,
and of Judea,
yeah,
and of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And the power of the Lord was present to him.
You ready for this? And it, not a one of them got healed. Boy, that was the worst response I've got. And the power of the Lord was present to heal him, and nobody got healed. Why? Because the power is not the issue. And the Spirit's not the issue. And the truth is not the issue. And the will of God is not the issue. Your persuasion is the issue. Am I making sense, Brother Tenney? In other words, they were not persuaded he would heal them. Then they let the guy through the roof. Remember the story? They were persuaded Jesus could heal them. He heals them, none heal none of them. Why? One's persuaded, one's not. When I try to lay down in bed, you sit down. I tried to lay down in bed. The Lord dealt with me and said, tell the people
that I had two of my leaders anointed with the same holy anointing oil. I put it on King Saul, and I put it on David. And the same giant challenged both of them, and one took off running, and one took off his head. And tell him the only difference was not the anointing, it was the persuasion. Saul was persuaded he couldn't take him out. David was persuaded he couldn't do anything but take him out. You better start challenging some of your giants. You better start challenging some of these things. It's not your anointing that makes the difference. It's your persuasion that makes the difference. Because if you exercise persuasion, it releases God.
Are you hearing me? You just sit down. You just sit down. I had Mike, Brother Mike Williams going to read another scripture to me in 6 and 7. Would you read that for me, Reverend Mike?
And it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into a synagogue and taught.
Yeah.
And there was a man whose right hand was withered.
Go ahead.
And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day.
Ain't it about time we holy rollers get as persuaded about God as his enemies? They were persuaded he could heal, and they were persuaded he would heal. They weren't persuaded whether he would heal on the Sabbath. So they sat and watched with their persuasion. And when he was ready to catch the original streaker in Mark 5, the man that wear no clothes and lived in the cemetery and had that legion of devils, the legion of devils said, if you cast us out, ain't it time for the Pentecostal people to be persuaded about God as much as devils are?
Okay, it just hasn't worked. I'm so sorry. I've tried to tell you simply this, that promises are nothing but revelations of divine intention. Like truth, they do nothing unless you act upon them. Persuasion is the catalyst that releases God to do his stuff. When I was awakened this afternoon, God spoke to me and said, how long will it be ere you believe me of all the things and the signs that I've already done for you? When are you going to get persuaded? This conference has had the miraculous all over the place. But now we've got to go home persuaded that it's going to happen. And the only way you'll get persuaded is you act on it. You act like you believe it. You act like God's going to do it. You start acting and God is released. You remain standing. I don't need to go much longer. I haven't got to where I needed to go. I'm trying to tell you, God dealt with me, Doc. Yep. He dealt with me. And he said, look here. Read the bottom of that 14 of Numbers. And I read and he says, but my servant Caleb, he hath wholly followed me. Watch this. For he had with him another spirit. Persuasion. And 3 million went that way. And Joshua and Caleb went that way. And the only difference was two guys were persuaded. And the other guys were held hostage by their lack of understanding. Stay with me. I'm closing. Boy. Okay, I'm just going to do it. Tell the people that I have put an anointing on them. And they are to leave this conference with this anointing, and they are to look for a problem. I said, look for a problem. He said, when Elisha walked with Elijah, and he met the conditions for the anointing, and the mantle fell, said, Elisha picked up the anointing and said, let me find a problem. And he went to the river. And he slapped it. Now, here's how you can tell if you got anything out of this meeting. When you go home and you slap your river, if it opens, you're persuaded. If it splashes you in your face, thank him for the coat. hearing me yet. You're not hearing me yet. You're not hearing me yet. All this hoopla, I'm glad for it. Fine, I do it. Fine. But now, persuasion. Low key, persuasion. Got enough sickness in this people, in this house, to build 5 hospitals. Got enough diabetics in this place and people with high blood pressure to give a retirement fund to doctors. Now, I wonder if I can get anybody persuaded. Not emotion. Not hikama hukama hook. No. Persuaded. Either God's a liar or he's not. That's all. Either he'll do what he said, or let's throw the book away and play bingo. Boy, I'm struck fire. Hey, missionaries, you know your missionary to Papua New Guinea? Little boy Peter, 16 years old. Macular degeneration. Looks out of the side of his eye like this. I'm preaching the dedication of home missionary service. And I said, Peter, what's the matter with you? He said, oh, pastor. He can't talk. He was born in Australia, New Zealand. He got a mouthful of marbles. Yes, pastor. I said, what's the problem with your eyeballs? How come you keep looking like this? He says, oh, pastor, I have macular degeneration. I said, well, what exactly is that? He said, the lines come together and the words come together. I have to look through my peripheral vision to see. I said, Jesus didn't give that to you. He said, no, I don't believe he did. I said, never mind what you believe. I said, he didn't give it to you. I said, I'm going to ask you a simple question. If Jesus was standing right here and you had macular degeneration and you asked him to fix you, would he fix you? Or would he tell you, no, you're learning so much about the love of God, I'm going to let your eyeballs fall out on the street and go to a place and live on with a walking eye dog? He says to me, oh, pastor, he would heal me. I said, yeah, I got news for you. He's here. I got him. He's in me. I said, come here, Peter. John, you ready? We're going to woo right now. I put my hands on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse this macular degeneration. I command it not to be allowed to be here, because there's no macular degeneration in heaven. And you told us to pray, as it is in heaven, so in earth. So heaven is my standard and earth is my testing ground. I took my hands off and he says, thank you, pastor. Thank you, pastor. And he went back. I started preaching. He's boogalooing all over the house. He's running. He's jumping. I'm thinking, oh, God, don't let him slam into the doors. He can't see. He walks up to me and he says, pastor, I've got a good report for you, pastor. And I said, well, what do you got there, Pete? He says, the Lord Jesus Christ has totally healed my eyes. I can see straight. I'm fine. My doctor of pharmacy at my church said to me, you must have been mistaken, Brother Arnold. Macular degeneration, she gives me this. See, the internet, like, that's Jesus. Let's see what the internet said right here. Look here, see what the internet said. Macular degeneration is one, untreatable, and incurable. I said, don't tell Jesus. For I am persuaded. I said, I am persuaded. Come on, release your faith right now for whatever you have need of. Just be persuaded that God will heal you, that God will touch you. Come on, I'm serious right now. Start praying. Start laying hands on people. Start asking God. Ask people what's wrong with them. Come on, I need some people to start. You got all this hoopla. You got all this anointing. You got all this gifting from God. Okay, now find a river. Slap something with your mantle. Come on, exercise your faith. If you don't get it working now, it will not work when you get home. Come on, there's virtue in your hands. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Are you persuaded? Are you John, get out of your seat. We need some folks to move around. We need some people to exercise their persuasion in God. Never mind what you feel. Never mind what your understanding says. Are you persuaded?
Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And Elizabeth said, and there shall be a performance of that which was promised, because she believed it, or she was persuaded about it. She didn't understand how a virgin could have a baby, but she was persuaded. And once you exercise your persuasion, it releases God to work. Come on, one more time. Come on, one more time. Pray. Pray. And this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, we have the petitions we desired of Him. Come on. We haven't seen the biggest miracles yet. Right now, if you're persuaded, you can command diabetes to die, blood pressure to go down, cancer cells to be reversed, macular degeneration to start over, carpal tunnel syndrome to let go of those hands. Come on. You're shouting for 3 days. You're talking in tongues for 3 days. Are you persuaded? Come on, use your mantle. Use your anointing. Use it. Slap that river. Expect it to go back. Expect it to obey the word of the Lord. We've been challenged. We've been inspired. We've been touched. But now, all of that will not profit us until we are persuaded that it's going to work in me, that it's going to work in my church, my family, my children. Come on, please, just give me 2 more minutes. Please, please, exercise your faith. Slap your mantle down on somebody.